Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 15th, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 96, the first full paragraph, which begins, "Do not be discouraged." Today's readers are Sherry K.B. on the 12 Steps, Susan S.I. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Penny L.C., Liat T.D., and Leslie W. Our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C., and I want to give you the reference numbers for the last two meetings. This morning, Wednesday, August 15th at 7 a.m., the number is 11,793. And yesterday's meeting, Tuesday, August 14th at 10 a.m. East Coast time, is 11,787. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry this message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sherry K.B. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. Sherry K.B. in Northern California. Very grateful to recovered compulsive overeater at the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Sherry K.B. Susan S.I., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA? Susan, press star 1. I can't hear you.
You can hear me now? I don't know. I lost my phone here. Okay.
Yes.
All right, this is Susan S.I. from Florida. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group are never endorsed, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Susan S.I. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 96, the first full paragraph, which begins, "Do not be discouraged." And I will ask Penny L.C. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. And as I reflect on this paragraph, I realize where the gift of desperation is one that I had to have, and one I believe that anyone else needs to have this recovery be plausible for them. And so it takes what it takes, and everyone needs to go out there and experience their disease long enough until they have that gift of desperation. So if my prospect is not there yet, it's nothing that I could do to get them there and nothing I could do to keep them from getting ready. If they are ready, they will, you know, be able to come and do the work. What I do know is that if I hear a lot of yeah buts and if onlys and excuses, I know that this person probably is not ready, and the actions will speak louder than anything as to how they show up and if they're willing to do the work. But beyond that, what this reminds me is that this is a chance to practice for me how to do relationships gracefully with healthy boundaries. You know, it confirms for me how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease can be. And that reminds me why I'm so grateful to work this rigorous program of recovery so that I can stay, you know, abstinent, sober, healthy, recovered today by God's grace. But I just need to be willing to do the work, to offer what I have. But if the person isn't ready, then I need to be able to let them go and trust that there is someone else who is ready and who is available that will come my way. If I want it more than they do, then I'm simply playing God. And I know that that's not where I should be. And I need to watch out for my old character defects of trying to people please or trying to be enough for someone else. Because I just need to be following my higher power's will for me and knowing that I am enough today, and what that person is ready for is up to them and their higher power, and I'm just there to be a guide. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. Okay, who would like to share on what Penny read?
Maureen R.
Okay, Maureen K. Sherry KB. I heard somebody else after Maureen.
Carrie S.
Carrie S.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else?
Ginger C.
Ginger C. Could take a couple more. Okay, we'll start with those. Marin K, please get us started.
Thank you, Kathy.
Julie
Thank
P.
You. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay, Julie, I got you on the list. Go ahead, Marin.
Hi, Marin K. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. You know, this paragraph is very important, and I kind of look at it like, you know, myself, when I was trying to recover, many years prior to recovery and getting recovered, people told me what I needed to do, and I was not willing to take the information in. And people dropped me, people went, you know, left me alone, and that was probably the best thing that could happen, because then I came to my bottom and almost died and then got my recovery that way. That's what had to happen for me. So I thank the people who tried to help me, but in this disease, you know, without the willingness to go to any lengths, you can't recover. So I had to be willing to go to any lengths to recover, and unfortunately, that was a lot I had to do to recover. I know when I have sponsored people, they usually have been very willing to do what I've asked them to do. I know people that I see who need this program that I talk to, they get very defensive about OA, you know, about the program, because they don't want to look at themselves. And so I don't try to push it on them anymore. Before, I used to say stuff, but I don't say stuff anymore, because it's like they don't want to hear it. So then I don't do it anymore. So thank you, Kathy, and thank you for letting me show.
Thank you, Maureen K. Sherry KB, please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader, And thanks very much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. You know, before I did the work this way, I tried so hard to get people to stay abstinent. That's all I was really trying to do before I did the work this way in this book. It was all about being abstinent. And, you know, that's what I thought my job was. And, you know, what I realized is after looking at my history around trying to work with others for many years, I was trying to do God's job and not God's work. And so the difference to me today is that I open my hands to help anyone I can, but I can't want it more for them than they want it for themselves. And I also know that if I stay too long with one person trying to get them to do the work, then I'm trying to run the fairy show. I do pray a lot when I work with my proteges, asking God, what would you have me be and do with this person? Because even though I take them through the book the same way, there's still different kind of personalities and who I deal with. But I can't, you know, I can't sit there and try to convince them that they need this work and they need to do this work and they've got to do this and got to do that. I usually lay out what it is I do and let them know ahead of time. And like it said the other day that, you know, I've possibly made a friend because I can't force this down somebody's throat and they have to want it more than, you know, I want it for themselves. And that's what keeps coming up for me is that, you know, in the story here that they're talking about the fellowship failed, they're talking about Bill Wilson here. I heard he used to pull people off bar stools out of bars and try to bring them into AA or whatever, not AA, but, you know, try to help them. And I just know, like, for myself, I needed the gift of desperation to ask for help because I had a hard time asking for help. I would always try to do it my way, and my way never got me anyway, anywhere. So I just know that I remember I pray, I ask God to speak through me. If they don't want what I have, then I tell them, I'm sorry, then I must not be a good fit for you. But I don't, you know, try to hold them up because there might be another opportunity for them. And if I keep pushing and prodding them along and dragging them through, that's not the way to help another person. And that's what I do know, then that my ego is getting in there and my pride. So I just keep asking God for help of what to do with a particular person or whatever. And I just know that there's so many people that I hear on this line that want this. And so, and that's what I keep reminding myself. There's so many people out there that want it, Sherry. And I just pray and ask God to bring me the people God wants me to work with. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Carrie S., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, visionaries. This is Carrie S., gratefully living in the sunlight of the spirit in Golden, Colorado. Thank you, God, for my recovery today. So this paragraph was suggested by the lovely Sheila J. She did a special edition, Love and Forgiveness, a couple years ago. And she taught me that to consider having your protege read this paragraph right off the bat. And it gave me, it was right at the beginning of my recovery that I heard that. And so I read through it just with the idea, what's my relationship with my guide? And it just, the book is just so amazing that it gives us these clear cut directions that tells me what my relationship is to be, that my guide is not going to shame me. My guide is not going to ridicule or blame me, that it's up to me to be entirely ready, that I get to do this sacred, precious work with this person if I show up, if I'm on the firing line. And I heard that, you know, if I'm saying to my sponsor, yeah, but I have this condition, or I'm going to pull out this trivial excuse that this happened with some scenario around food, you know, that my actions are showing up, my actions that I'm not wanting to do the work, that I'm staying with my old behaviors that haven't served me, that the prejudices, my old ideas that have kept me trapped in this illness. Maybe I'm restricting my food. Maybe I'm lying about some inaction that I didn't take. That's not going to get me better. And so I'm so grateful for those that have come before me that have given me this framework that have taught me, you know, that I must be convinced that I'm at my bottom. And that's what it took for me to get recovered, that I needed a new relationship. And ultimately, what is that relationship with my higher power? And so today, I try and guide my protégés to have a God squad that, you know, if they're flinching at my guidance at all, they may not be entirely ready, and that's okay. That we have to, you know, it takes what it takes for us to get to that place. And so I'm just looking at my time. Just so grateful to be on the line. And if you're out there, if you're struggling, just know that this book works 100%. That if you listen to somebody else and get out of the self-will, it works. And I'm so grateful to be here as a testament. Thank you to A Vision for You. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. Ginger C., please share with us. Ginger, I can't hear you. Press star one, please. Okay, we'll move on. Julie P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie P., compulsive overeater, wanting to be fully recovered, but not yet. I just started working with a sponsor, and then I started listening, and I was listening to this the whole time since you guys were back in the book at around step 10. And it's like, I'm feeling all this shame and guilt, and I'm like, oh my God, am I not ready? Because I'm a double winner. I've sponsored people in other programs, and I, at first I was like, okay, you got to go do 90 meetings in 90 days. Call me every day. Call three people a day. And then it's like, I think I got a little soft, and I was like, okay, you have a 1-year-old, and you're on your own, and you work 8-hour days. Okay, those days you don't have to go to a meeting. You know what I mean? And so I'm listening to all these directions, and I'm like, okay, so am I just like, have I got to the point where I'm just like, oh, I don't really need to do too much work, and and then I start saying to myself, you know what, no, you know what, I am really trying, there's been some things going on, and then I'm like, oh, see, you're making excuses again, you know, so it's been a rough few days, because I've been trying to do this thing with my sponsor, and school just started, and things, and there's my excuses again, you know. But anyway, I love that I'm in recovery and I'm in the big book, and I'm doing well with my food plan, and I feel good about the whole thing. It's just listening to this and being a newcomer again. It's just. I don't know, it's challenging. So, because I've already been through that thing about no matter what, you do your program. Like, it doesn't matter that your parents are here from San Felipe and you haven't seen them for a year. That doesn't matter. You still do your work when you're with them. And so I'm just having a hard time with that type of stuff. I guess my boundaries and are kind of messed up. So, anyway, I hope somebody got something out of that and could relate. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie P. Hey, who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Leslie W.
I'm sorry, I did not get the first name. Who is that?
Leslie W.
Oh, Leslie. Sorry. Leslie W. And then who is next?
Paula D.
Paula D.
Melissa O.
Melissa C. I think it was Leslie L. Was that right?
Kelly T.
Kenny T.
Kelly T. Kelly.
Kenny T.
Kathleen G.
Okay, say the last two again, one at a time, please.
Deb G.
Deb G. And Kathleen O, did I hear you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, why don't we stop there? Leslie W, Paula D, Melissa C, I think it was Leslie L, Carrie T, Deb G, and Kathleen O. Leslie, please get us started.
Thanks, Kathy. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. You know, I feel like this paragraph should have flashing lights and in bold, attention, all codependents and control freaks, because that is, something that I need to remember when I'm working with sponsees, and not just sponsees, but people in general. I mean, anybody that I come in contact with, I have spent, when I first started sponsoring, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a clue. And I can remember being on the phone with my sponsees for hours and hours, not really sure of, what I was supposed to be doing. But I thought it was helping them. No, I wasn't. In my codependency, what I was doing was enabling them to cling to me for comfort. And, I would have people come to me and just want me to listen to them talk about their problems, want me to mother them, want me to, put a Band-Aid on their boo-boo. And the thing is, that plays right in line with my character defects, and there's a reason why I think I kind of attracted those sort of people in the beginning of this journey, because I didn't know how to set healthy boundaries. I didn't know that I was harming them by not letting them go so that I can move on to somebody else. And when I think about it that way, it really helps me to let go of the sponsor-sponsee relationship with someone who is not wanting to do the work. And when I know that I'm going to be robbing someone else of their opportunity to get well if I stay with a person who doesn't want to get well. And the kindest thing that I can do for someone who doesn't want to get well and is just hanging on to me is just to let them go. It goes against every Southern training I've ever had. Every bone in my body sometimes to do that, to cut them loose. But that is the kind thing to do. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leslie W. Paula D., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service today. As Dr. Bob says, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. Even reading this, and as I read this, it opens up even more. It says, first, my name is Paula D. I will clarify that. And I am right now currently in the state of New Hampshire. And it begins with, do not be discouraged. That's for all. It talks about, what did it say as the pages before and preceded? We made a friend, friendship. Okay, wait a minute. So come here as a friend. Love this person. It's not just me, it's them. Letting them go and realizing who God is and who Paula is. There may be somebody that can help them, that can be with them. And they can hear better And sometimes, guess what? After one sponsor says, well, perhaps you should move on, they hear better. And so do I. And let me tell you, I trust God in this. So I have a job, search out another alcoholic and try again. They must search out another sponsor and try again, if they're willing. And they're desperate enough this time. Listen, I wasn't desperate enough the first, second, third, fourth time around. And I'd love to say, well, you know, it was all the sponsor. I just wasn't ready. I don't know why. I don't know what. They were trying to raise the bottom. Don't. Don't. And it says here, if you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. That's it. Look what a gift you've given them. And you thought it was the worst tragedy? No. That's where God works best. Not on what we think, on what he knows. And then it goes on, to spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. That part there, and myself included, because I'm another alcoholic. And I'm telling you, I know time. At 73, I know, and I appreciate each day. This is when we truly understand the word let go and let God, at both of them. He often says that if he had continued to work at them, he might have deprived many others. Maybe he would have deprived them also, who have since recovered of their chance. That's it. You give them a chance. And don't ever doubt that God will find someone else for them. Yep, I found that one out. And they're teaching me now. They're teaching me. So I thank you for allowing me this time to share. And again, I will end with Dr. Bob's words. It's a pleasure. Thank you for this fellowship, and thank you for your service again, Kathy. I will end with gratitude. And now we'll pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Melissa C., please share with us. Hi, good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I was thinking, like, I can't take any of the 12 steps for another person. You know, like, I can't make someone's amends. I can't do their inventory. I can't do their, you know, their 11-step process. And I can't do step one for them either. And this is step one. Like, how do you find out that your life is unmanageable? Because your life becomes unmanageable, you know. How do you find out that you're powerless over food? Because you keep trying to exert your own power, and it doesn't work. And so this is like, step one is a real inside kind of job. You know, like, I can educate a sponsee about what step one means and what it looks like and what we do. But the actual taking of step one, in my opinion, it occurs outside the room. It occurs, you know, every time you try and fail, every time that, you know, your life becomes like a one drop lower than it was before. And I can't take away that moment for people. And, you know, and the other thing that I was thinking about, you know, like, in, you know, when we read the book and we say, like, we worked with someone, you know, this part is saying working on someone. Well, I don't work on anybody. Like, I'm not a surgeon, and I don't work on people. Like, I work with someone. So if someone's not desperate, there's nothing I can do. I can be their friend. I can, you know, continue to live recovered and hopefully model what recovery can look like. You know, and then I think about people in my life that I love a great deal who, to me, my God, aren't they desperate yet? Like, isn't my best friend desperate enough yet? I don't know. You know, I know for myself that people loved me, and they tried all sorts of frothy emotional appeal because they loved me, and they thought, well, isn't she desperate yet? But I wasn't. You know, I wasn't desperate until I was desperate. And since there are only certain number of hours in a day, no, I can't work with someone who's not desperate.
And it's horrible. Like, I hate having those conversations with people that I can't work with you anymore, you know. But in my experience, it's they're done. You know, when they're done, they're done. And if they're not done, they're not done. And, you know, and I've had sponsees or potential sponsees call who, to me, they sound really desperate. But, like, first assignment in, they don't do it. And so then they're not, you know, and I don't fight it. I just have to move on and put them in my prayers. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Kathy K., we can't hear you.
Hey, ladies, can I just interject and ask?
Kathy K., are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes, thanks.
Okay, I said thank you to Melissa C., and then I was looking for Leslie L. Are you there, Leslie? Okay, I may have gotten that name wrong. So I'm going to go on to Kelly T. Kelly, are you there to share?
Hello, everyone. This is Kelly T. from New York City. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, good morning. Sponsorship. It is a tough cookie, sponsorship. And I've been sponsoring for the past 4 or 5 months. And been through so many fellows, sponsees, and I'm learning how to be patient and loving and compassionate towards them, because I'm realizing, humbling myself, how I used to be. Like, they remind me that that used to be me when I first got into the rooms, that I used to be that person. Oh, hell no, I'm not going to do this. This and this and that. But I can give up the gym. Oh, I cannot give up coffee for 30 days. I cannot do this. But I have trauma. I was molested. I was this. I was that. I came up with any excuse why I was picking up and wasn't realizing that I was hindering myself. And then I would get resentful at my sponsors for dropping me. I got dropped so many times. In less than 2 years, I was dropped so many times, but I kept coming back because I knew that what was out there wasn't enough. It wasn't going to help me. I kept coming to the rooms and kept getting a different sponsor. And every time I got dropped, I blamed them, not me. And since I've been recovered in Vision for over a year and 4 months, I am aware of why I wasn't, you know, recovered and why they let me go. I used to get mad when I used to read the bid book and it says to drop them. And now I understand it's a waste of time if they're not ready. Then they're not ready, they're not going to listen. I have to let people go because they weren't ready to do the work. And it's okay. At first, I would get upset, and I wanted to please them, but I'm like, that's a disservice. I'm not helping them. Just like those sponsors in the past that let me go, and when I was ready, I did the work. And because of that gift of them letting me go, I soon hit bottom. It took me a while, but I got there. Nobody can force anybody to recover. And it's such a beautiful gift to know that it's not up to me. I'm just here to guide them and show them what I did, and that's it. It's less weight on my shoulder, and that's a beautiful gift right there. I don't have to be like, oh, they're relying on me. No, they have to be on their higher power, their willingness to do the work. I'm here just to guide them and show them my experience, strength, and hope. And be humble about it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly T. Deb G., please share with us.
Deb G., can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for everyone who shared. This is a great topic. You know, over the years, one of the ways I've learned to study the big book was to turn a statement into a question. And one of the things I asked is, do I get discouraged if my prospect doesn't respond? Well, years ago, I used to, but experience has shown is not to take any of this personally. A sponsor is not in the results business. Our job is to lead prospects to the solution, which is God, the steps, and the tools. They're not interested or ready. We will know in pretty short order. And better to focus on those who are ready. Some say they're ready, work for a while, then drop out. It's a very mixed bag, but desperation is a beautiful thing. I've learned in this program is that challenge or desperation or adversity are always opportunities if we can look through it as a different set of lenses. There's a gift in desperation, and what is it? It yields. What's the opportunity that desperation yields? For me, it was to seek and to change and to be willing to do something different, to be open to new possibilities. These are the vital elements that I needed to move forward because what I was doing wasn't working. And I've lost many prospects, but I've also gained some people who want to rigorously work this program. And I don't think a sponsor can give away a spiritual awakening. I think people have been saying that today, which is it's a very personal experience that only the individual can, you know, can go for, know about. The sponsor can't give that. You can only lead them to the water, but you can't make them drink. And so what I do is, like somebody else said, I send the lost prospects with a blessing. And I have to also remember, if I took step three and I'm turning my life and my will over to God, if I lose a prospect, there may be somebody right out there ready to come on in, and maybe God's making room for that person. I have no idea. But I think it's God often who has other plans, and I have to be open to them. I'm just a vehicle. I'm just a messenger. I deliver the paper every day. It's up to the sponsee if they want to read it. And I can't force them to pick it up off the porch and take it inside and really study it. I can't, but I can always offer it. And that's part of my recovery, which is to give that gift that I've been given to them. But you can't make them read it or do the work. So thanks for letting me share. It's a wonderful meeting, and I pass.
Thank you, Deb G. Let's see, Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. Do not be discouraged. I love those first four words of this paragraph. When I first started sponsoring, I did get discouraged when sponsees didn't embrace these principles, but I learned it wasn't about me. Either they were ready or they were not ready. People come to us because they usually do want and need recovery. But how do we know someone's ready? So this sentence here, you are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. And those are the key words for me, desperate and eager. I know someone's ready when they're eager to show up and embrace entire abstinence and work these steps like their hair is on fire. And the way I know they're not ready is I'll hear excuse after excuse. And that being said, I do cringe when people call me and say their sponsor fired them or they felt shamed by, you know, not doing what they were supposed to do. That's not something that I want to do. You know, I don't want anyone to feel shamed. I find that when someone likely isn't ready when they're continuing to pick up their alcoholic foods or not show up for calls. And when I feel like I'm enabling them or my serenity is being challenged, then I like to get to the point where I actually give them a choice. And I kindly let them know that if they choose to eat their alcoholic foods again or have too many reasons why they can't work the steps, then in an agreed manner, you know, the agreed manner that we have decided how to work the steps, then they're choosing to let me go as a sponsor. So I sort of put it back on them. And then it's a lot more it's simple. I really do try to keep this simple. And that if that's the case and they do choose to let me go as a sponsor by their actions, that, you know, I'll always be there as a friend and a fellow in this program. But it is really important that we don't spend too much time when people really, really aren't ready. But I think they have to figure that out on their own. And I'm always, it's just so great to work with someone who is ready. So, and we don't want to pass up that opportunity. And thank you so much and have a great day, everyone. And I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. So we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Martha M.
Martha M.
Carla.
Chatty T.
Okay, who was the second person? I did not get your name.
Carla.
Deborah P.
Okay. Deborah P. We'll just have time for those two, Martha M. and Deborah P. I'm sorry to the rest of you. Okay, Martha, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm nervous because I'm a newcomer, so I'm not exactly sure what I'm saying or need to say, but about a week ago I reached out to somebody on Vision, and I've been on a week-long journey, and I just like to take it from the view of a potential sponsee that I've been met with graciousness and directness and compassion and a lot of good recovery, and it's much appreciated. It's encouraging. And it encourages me personally to keep doing the little steps that I have to do every day to get nearer to a sponsor. And I won't be deterred. I'm gonna find somebody that we can work together. Is it gonna hurt to give up the food? I'm sure it will, but that's what I have to do. So I have this analogy. I'm terrible at getting my blood drawn. I'm terrified of the needles. But what I've learned is that I just say, can I say ouch, and just let them do it anyway. And it just helps me to say that hurts, but it doesn't mean that I don't stop doing it. So I also wanted to share that I am somebody who has been listening literally consistently on this line for possibly up to 4 years, and never made a phone call. So even though there's been beautiful recovery, and I've heard a lot of encouragement, and I've been reading the big book alongside all of you, I wasn't ready until I was ready. And thankfully, I was at a desperate point. I've had many desperate points, but whatever that desperate point was last week, it prompted me to text somebody at 9:30 at night. So I'm very appreciative. I really am. I'm so grateful. And I hope all of you have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha M. And Deborah P., you have 2 minutes at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is Deborah P. from Northern California. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, what a great meeting. I listened to the other one this morning as well, the recorded, and this is just really hitting home for me. You know, I want to be one of those people that's desperate, and I was, and I've kind of lost it, and the last thing I want to do is go back out there and eat. The last thing I want to do is lose my sponsor, the last thing I want to do is lose what little recovery I have. And so this has just been enlightening to me. You know, I've come from a place where a shame-based recovery in the past. And so it took me a long time to come back because I was afraid of that shame. And, you know, I don't have that shame today. And, This has just been a really powerful meeting, and I just want to put it out there that, you know, I'm not desperate today, and I want that desperation. So I guess that's what I'm putting out there. So thank you very much. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I just love you guys to pieces. Thank you.
Who has been here and shared today. It's been a great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Liat T.D., would you please read Our Book is Meant to be Suggestive Only?
Yes, thank you, Kathy, and thank you, everybody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass to you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Keep freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.